8:35 this morning. John Duggan is with us. John, good morning to you.
Jaron Owen, how are we getting on?
Where are we starting?
We're starting with the Foxes. You got to give Brendan Rodgers a lot of credit. 2-0 win over Chelsea last night in the Premier League. Wilfred Ndidi and James Maddison with the goals to send Leicester to the summit of the Premier League. Frank Lampard, 5 defeats now in 8 Premier League games. Timo Werner on the bench. Over 200 million spent. I remember with Alex Ferguson back in 1990, he was 3.5 years at Old Trafford at Manchester United without a trophy in 2021. Do you get that kind of time? I don't think you do. And that's what the Frank Lampard has to worry about, I think, with Chelsea at the moment. We had West Ham beating West Brom 2-1 last night. You also got tonight the Manchester clubs both can go top. Manchester United away to Fulham from 8:15. Maybe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will rotate the squad. Manchester City hosting Aston Villa at the Etihad Stadium from 6 o'clock. Celtic away to Livingston in the Scottish Premiership tonight, looking for a much-needed win, 8:15. Kevin Zeffi set to complete a move to Inter Milan. The 15-year-old attacking player lined out for Shamrock Rovers 2 last season, and he's a regular with the Republic of Ireland under-15 squad to follow in the footsteps now of Robbie Keane and Liam Brady. Colin Fennelly from Kilkenny set to take a year out of the game. It's believed for work commitments and maybe to recharge the batteries. This will follow the news that Ger Aylward and Paul Murphy have retired from the inter-county setup on North Side. Tiger Woods to have a bit of time off after another back surgery, a fifth back surgery for Tiger. The 15-time major winner underwent a procedure to remove a pressurised disc fragment that was pinching his nerve, and horse racing is on the all-weather at Dundalk today, guys, at 3:45.
All right, so let's stick with racing because we want to talk about the Charles Byrne case. He's been suspended for 6 months from training duties. Maybe give us the facts about this, John. What do we know? How did this come to pass?
There was a handicap hurdle, lads, at Tramore in October of 2018, and there was a horse called Viking Horge trained in Limerick by Charles Burns. He was sedated before the race. The horse was given the sedative ACP to a level of 100 times over the limit. So Burns and his son, Cahill, travelled to the race course with the horse. They left the horse then unattended for 2 spells, totaling 25 minutes. So the administration of the sedative could have been applied by a third party. There is no CCTV at Tramore at the time to give the evidence of who applied the sedative. At the same time, the horse drifted in the betting from 4-1 to 8-1. The jockey, Kevin Brudner, pulled up the horse after the 6th flight. Obviously, he was not running well because he was heavily sedated. You'd have to ask the question, if the horse was punched drunk, could the jockey's health have been at risk if the horse had fallen? The horse was laid. So, in other words, someone took a bet. Someone took a bet, laid a horse. They took a bet of €3,200 that the horse would lose, exposing themselves on a betting exchange for almost €35,000. So there's no evidence that Charles Burns was involved in that. These lay bets, or these bets for the horse to lose, were placed by a limited liability company, which placed them on Betfair, the betting exchange. They're believed to be done in Asia by a commission agent acting via a white label exchange linked to Betfair on behalf of an individual or individuals who wanted to lay the horse. This practice has been subsequently outlawed by Betfair. Betfair are not commenting until this case is over completely because Charles Burns will appeal his sanction. The same company had previously laid the same horse, Viking Horde, to lose at Sedgefield that month to win €12,000 with the liability of €30,000, and at Galway in July of 2018 to lose €55,000 liability. They would win €12,000 if the horse did not win. The horse, Viking Horde, did not win on both occasions, so that money was presumably collected. So Burns has been found culpable of neglect by the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board. He has lost his training licence for 6 months. He's been fined €1,000. Charles Burns, who is he? He's a Cheltenham Festival winning trainer. Solwich, people might remember, won the Stairs Hurdle a few years ago. He's previously admitted backing horses to win bumper races because training is the loss-making business. That is on the record. Last year, he was fined €2,000 under the non-trial rule following a race at Naas. He will appeal the ruling, as I said. The Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board posted a detailed explanation of their findings yesterday, which has to be welcomed. If you backed Viking Horde, folks, at Tramore, you did not get a fair run for your money. You were done out of a fair run by the deliberate administration of a sedative to the horse, whoever administered the sedative. And you'd have to also ask the question, what about the punters, as I've just said there? And also, where's the concern for the horse's welfare in all of this? This is a very serious case.
It's a really serious case because it opens up a can of worms. How often is this happening? All those questions that we just don't know the answers to. And a point raised in Kevin Blake's piece, I think was this on Racing TV, I don't want to get it wrong, but he was making the point that in the UK there was a scandal, a similar scandal, where sedatives were being given to horses. They found 20 horses that sedatives had been given to, and they brought in CCTV to make sure that this couldn't happen again. So the administration of the sedative, there would never be any gaps in people's knowledge. I think you're supposed to stay with your horse. You're supposed to have somebody with your horse the whole time. But in the reasoned decision, the evidence given was, look, they had to go and get some food, and these things happen. Everybody knows that that is the case. So there's no CCTV footage in Tremor because there's no CCTV. And we don't know who was there with the horse in the build-up to the race. And it's clear from the amount that they found in the system that the horse was doped in the build-up to the race. It wasn't a few days previous. The figures there that John gave you in terms of the number, the scale of it. The scale of it's also really worrying because it's so damaging. I haven't seen the video of the race, but the review said that, you know, the jockey actually strikes the horse very early on in the race to give him a wake up, but obviously he's not going to wake up because he's been doped.
Yeah. You do not want a stench of leprechaun, or I would describe it as the smell of leprechaun aftershave around Irish horse racing. The gambler, the touch, I suppose, has always been associated with horse racing. Part of the fun of it, a stable or owners might have a go at a particular race on a particular day if they feel the conditions are right for the horse to perform to his optimum. I've never really had an issue with that because I think that while it's exciting, there's still not a certainty that the horse will win. I know a yard that trains horses and does well on the flat. And before Christmas, I was told that this horse has got a good chance at Dundalk. We all backed it and the horse was beaten a neck. There was no certainty around that. We all lost money. And you felt, you know what, we had a bit of a gamble on the horse. It did not work out. That is horse racing. That is the way it goes. A horse could fall. A horse might not perform to its optimum. The horse cannot talk. And a lot of investigation into racing, that's one of the obstacles, because the horse cannot talk and tell you how he performed. But there's a couple of things here that are very, very different in scale. Performance enhancing doping, as Richard Forrestal was speaking to Joe Malloy about last night, crystal clear cheating. The problem with trying to regulate that is, where do you begin? I think Richard's suggestion about blood passports for horses was a good one. Because money is involved, because horses can't talk, there'll always be a peculiar whiff around it, Irish horse racing. I would call it the scent of Sleeveen. But I would also say that I love racing, and so many other people love racing. I love the bravery of the jockeys. I think with Friday Night Racing, we've demonstrated on this channel the integrity of people involved, jockeys, trainers, owners and breeders. And you don't want the great people in the game to be sullied by the actions of others. There's great human interest stories from a sport that has thousands employed, especially in rural Ireland. We've got a brilliant, brilliant operation in this country. We've had Aidan O'Brien going around the world and winning races and putting Ireland on the map. Races like the Melbourne Cup, the race that stops the nation in Australia. The Cheltenham Festival has been hugely successful for Ireland. And at a time when Irish sport wasn't that really successful worldwide, we could look to the likes of Arkle or Istabrack to say, you know what, or Don Run, that we could punch above our weight and take on the English or the French and win fairly. And that's what we did. But the two issues, one on performance enhancing doping, that is a really serious issue. Jim Bulger's comments were worrying recently about that. And the other issue, what emerged yesterday, is in a completely different scale. A sedative to stop a horse running any kind of race at the same time the horse laid to lose on a betting exchange. Like, it smells like a major problem for the integrity of the sport. So I would welcome and I would applaud the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board for the detailed judgment that they made yesterday. But the fact that the horse had been laid twice to lose before at Sedgefield and Galway raises other questions. Imagine laying a horse or taking bets on it knowing that the outcome was fixed. That's very serious territory. And if that has proven that it was deliberate and orchestrated, you'd have to ask the question if the fraud squad should be brought in to look at this, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, the fraud squad in what part of the world, obviously, that's here and then also around the world too. It's obviously a multinational operation. That was the other aspect to this, is that it isn't just involving an Irish horse in an Irish race. The money was made by somebody in the, you know, they say far-flung parts of the world. I can't remember the exact language that they use, but The implication was certainly that it's the Far East. And so all of a sudden you're tapping into a much bigger problem with massive amounts of money. And therefore, you know, when there's money, there's going to be temptation. So it's a big challenge. And I'm not really sure, like, you need to do everything you possibly can to try and make sure that you fight back any doubts about the integrity of the sport. We've seen it in other sports that some sports have handled this quite well and some sports haven't handled it very well. You got to get out in front of it as fast as you can. The point about the CCTV, that sounds like a good one. Just announced that we're going to install CCTV that will be monitored, and the video will be stored in the cloud forever, so that if something emerges in 10 years' time, we'll be able to go, there's that race, there's the half an hour beforehand, there's that horse, and you can track them the whole way. Like, the systems are really cheap now compared to what they would have been 10 years ago, compared to what they would have been 5 years ago. And, you know, it's very easy to make that announcement and start winning that credibility and making sure that you're out in front of it. So, it'd be, you know, you would hope that, I'm sure they feel the crisis. They must do, because it's been brewing for a little while. And then this story lands yesterday, which is a really stunning story in terms of the scale of it. So, you would really hope that racing gets out in front of this, because, you know, it's a...
It has to protect the great people that work in the game, that give racing a great name. They have to protect them. They have to protect the punter. They have to protect the welfare of the horse. They also have to protect the welfare of the jockey who was involved on that day, Kevin Bruder. Good passports, I think, is an important thing to, like, to track the history of a horse's physiology. I think absolutely what you're saying, CCTV. And also, who is laying these bets? Like, with the internet, with online investigations, there's no evidence that Charles Burns was involved in laying these bets. And there's no evidence that Charles Burns was involved in the administration of the sedative. And that's why we're talking about the CCTV.
Yeah.
But who is laying these bets? And surely, can we not investigate that to the nth degree?
Yeah, and you can. And, like, you know how difficult it is to set up an online gambling account. You need a passport, essentially, in most places now. So I'm sure they could track it down. And you know that this is going to be the next area of this. And so that means the gambling firms need to get involved in that investigation, and they need to be proactive about it. And the industry needs to be proactive about it. And you need the people within the industry. It's great that Jim Bulger, somebody as storied and important as him, has come forward and said, I think this is a problem. And you hope that other voices behind him rally around and say, yeah, this is a problem. We need to fix it. So.